Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more about them online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, I thought long and hard about whether we should do this show or not, but we're here, and there's nothing I can do about it. How many times do you get to interview your own priest? Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. He's relatively new to the community. His name is Father Lucas Kane Crosland. We call him Father Lucas. He's the rector at the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, which is where I hang out. I've been hanging out there for a long time. And you've been here now, what, a year and a half?
A year and a half, that's right.
My, how time flies.
Indeed, indeed. And thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. I think it's going to be fun. So tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Yes, yeah, so I grew up in a small town in Tennessee. Really, I grew up in two places. The first one was Winchester.
Oh, I know Winchester well.
Yes, it's where the Kroger and the Walmart are if you go to Suwannee. And the second is Suwannee, Tennessee, where I moved to become a boarding student at the high school there and then stayed until they got rid of me after my seminary education.
Do they still have a high school at Suwannee?
They sure do, yep.
I thought they just had the military academy there.
Yeah, well, the military academy merged in 1981 with St. Mary's and St. Andrews to become St. Andrews Suwannee School.
So the military academy is gone.
That's right,
okay.
That's right.
All right, the issues in their buildings.
Which is where the seminary resides today.
Is that right?
That's right.
You have to understand that I am a graduate of the University of the South. He's a graduate of the University of the South. The only thing that separates us is about 50-plus years. All right. So you graduated from Suwannee.
That's right.
And you decide, I'm going to get into this thing called the seminary.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about how that all came about.
Yeah. So I think when I was a young boy, I was interested in religion, although my family did not attend church, you know. But my mother had this tremendous faith. I would see her read the Bible at home and pray. And she would go attend various churches. She never called one home. And I said, Mama, can I come to church with you one day? And I did. And so I really kind of fell in love with church and with Jesus. And from that day forward, I said, I think I want to kind of do this church work thing, although I didn't know what that would look like. And then when I became a boarder at St. Andrews, I was introduced to the Episcopal Church.
Right.
And we had three priests on staff. The athletic director was a priest, the chaplain, and the head of school. And I thought they were pretty nice guys, so I said, all right, I'll go down this road.
So what sport did the athletic director do?
Track and field.
Track and field. Did he get you involved in track and field?
You know, I can run away from lots of things, but running on a track isn't one of them.
So the only graduate school that Suwannee has is theology, correct?
That's right. That's right. Yes.
And that's
what makes them a university.
That's what makes them a university.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand all that. We used to call those who were in seminary the theologues.
That's right.
They still call you the theologues?
Yes, yes. Yeah, the theologues. We'd go over to campus for the coffee shop, and you could tell the college students would get a little uneasy that the theologues had walked in, you know.
Well, the reason they got uneasy when I was there was because the theologues were known for being a rather rowdy bunch. They were kind of blowing off the steam before they put the collar on.
Right, right.
Is that still true?
I can neither confirm nor deny that, Manny. Seal of the confessional.
Seal of the confessional.
Right, right.
Good for you. So seminary is what, 3 years?
It's 3 years, yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, tell me a little bit about the courses and what is it like?
Yeah, so you are in a cohort of people who are from all over the United States and even from different countries.
Really?
Yes.
How many did you have in your class?
We had about 30.
30. Okay.
30 people.
All right.
Yeah. And so the first year you kind of learn the fundamentals. You take Old Testament and New Testament. You take foundations of Christian theology. and you sort of are taken out of your comfort zone and thrown into a room of 30 people who all believe different things.
That must have been fun.
Sometimes it was. Sometimes it was. Other times, a little heated. A little heated, you know, because we were from all over the theological spectrum and all over the political spectrum.
So. But isn't that one of the neat things about religion?
That's right.
That there's so many different ways that people go about, you know, praising their Lord and learning about their Lord. Everybody interprets the Bible differently.
That's right. We all find our unity in the Christian denomination, you know, in Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. When it comes time to, do they teach a course on how to do a sermon?
They do. We take three courses in preaching. You take preaching one, preaching two, and then an elective. You know, but wasn't what wasn't on the seminary curriculum was being on a radio show.
Well, you're doing pretty well.
Well, thanks.
So preaching one, preaching
yes.
two. I mean, seriously, what do you do? Do you just write sermons and keep working at it and standing up there and delivering the sermons and see if they connect?
That's right. Yeah, you write your sermons and then you preach them to the class. And then the class offers you feedback on what you did well, what you could learn from. And then you're also put into a field education parish, you know, a neighboring parish to the seminary where you're preaching maybe once a month and the priest is coaching you through that.
Until you basically pass your final exam?
That's right, yes. The GOEs, they're called, General Ordination Exams.
And what is that? Is it a quiz on everything you've learned for 3 years?
That's correct. And it's at the very end of seminary. You sit for the GOEs for 3 days, sort of like your comps at Suwannee.
Do they still have those comps?
They do. They do.
Let me tell people what comps are.
Yes.
Because it was a god-awful experience. Pardon my French. They instituted comps our senior year, my senior year at the University of South.
They didn't have them before?
No.
Oh.
No. So when everybody got the fear of God put in them, what are we going to do now?
All right.
We literally burned up the Xerox machine on campus, making copies of everybody else's notes from all the classes because we were responsible for having some kind of a general working knowledge of anything in your major field.
Yeah.
Right? Well, my gosh, that seemed like an impossible, and it basically was almost an impossible task. I remember, you'll find this strange, I literally holed up in my room for close to a month just trying to learn.
Just studying, yeah.
Just studying. Now, here's another thing that's changed. These weren't multiple choice tests.
No, they were not.
All blue book.
That's right.
Which means for those who don't know what a blue book is, you have to write out.
Yes.
So the professor can see how you're thinking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then the worst part of all of it is how do you find out your grade?
All right.
Ah, well, back in my day, I don't know whether they did it in your day, you would line up on a designated day in front of your department chair's office.
Oh, goodness.
And you would be scared to death. You either got walked in with a pass or you walked out with a fail.
That's right.
That was it.
Yeah, wow. Now they send you an email. The subject line reads, comp score.
And just said pass or fail?
That's right. That's right.
Didn't give
Dear
you
Dear Lucas, pass.
Boy, oh boy.
Times have changed.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
No. Well, for those of you who have not been up to the University of South, you know, it is probably one of the most gorgeous campuses you'll find anywhere in the country.
That's right, yeah.
I always equated it to the Cathedral of Notre Dame located right in the heart of Tennessee.
Yes.
They have a university chapel that is absolutely huge.
It is, yeah.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's like Burns Auditorium over here, but even bigger.
Yes, in that cathedral style.
In a cathedral style. We used to have a lot of, because the school, interestingly enough, is still owned by 21 Episcopal Dioceses.
27.
27 now. We've
yes.
grown.
Yes, we have.
And back in my day, we had all these required services we had to go to. They've done away with that.
Yes.
We used to wear a coat and tie to class. They've done away with that. But they still have the Order of the Gownsman, correct?
They do, yes.
Do they have something like that in seminary?
They do. When you matriculate, you sign a book into the seminary, and then you're given a gown.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you graduate.
Yes, I graduated.
And then what did you do?
Well,
look for a job?
I looked for a job. I thought, you know, I still feel called to seminary, but I want to try something before I keep doing schooling. So I did an AmeriCorps Vista year.
Oh, boy.
And I was placed in Grundy County, Tennessee, which is the poorest county in Tennessee. and I was paired with the ambulance service.
Oh, my God.
Where I just met some of the world's best people. I mean, EMTs, goodness, they need our prayers for sure.
Did you have to learn to be an EMT?
No. I didn't learn to be an EMT, but what I was doing was I was writing them grants because they were in such a rural place that they needed grants from the federal government to get new trucks, new supplies, things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts of Tennessee, just like there are a lot of parts of South Carolina.
Yeah.
That are just dirt poor.
That's right.
Very, very poor.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so you did that for what, a year?
A whole year, and then I applied to seminary. And they admitted me, believe it or not.
All right, so you went from undergraduate to the Fire and Rescue Service.
That's right.
Then to seminary.
Yes.
All right. So you graduate from seminary.
Yep.
3 years.
3 years.
Then you go to get a job.
Then I go to get a quote-unquote real job, an adult job at this point, you know.
And where did that land you?
So that took me to Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I served as an assistant for 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, at a Episcopal church there, which was a wonderful experience and a not-so-wonderful experience all at the same time. You know, you learn what to do, you learn what not to do. And Fayetteville was a tough place to make friends. I mean, because of the military base, everybody's coming and going constantly, you know. So it's hard to put down roots.
That's exactly right. And then along comes an opportunity, and this is very, very, you know, you haven't gone through anything until you've gone through the selection process for the Episcopal Church to put a new preacher in.
I swear it took forever.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it takes at least a year.
That's right.
If not longer.
So I was looking at the job board one day, and there was the Episcopal Church of Our Savior in Rock Hill. And I thought, I'm going to have to Google Rock Hill. I mean, I couldn't even point to it on a map, you know?
Oh!
I mean, anyway, so put my name in the hat and didn't hear back.
No kidding.
So I thought, you know, for like 2 months, so I thought, maybe I didn't get the job.
They didn't even meet you?
Well, not at this point.
Not at this point.
And then I got an email saying, we'd like to invite you to interview.
Ah.
Yes. So I interviewed on Zoom.
Zoom.
At first with the search committee.
Okay.
And then the next day I got an email saying, we'd like to invite you to come in person to Rock Hill and interview in person. And believe it or not, the weekend I came was the hurricane weekend. I left Fayetteville on Thursday afternoon in the pouring rain, and I thought, I hope this is not a biblical sign here, you know.
Noah, where is your ark?
And, you know, they took me to the pump house for dinner that night, and that next day that, you know, the parking lot had flooded. The river had gone up to the first floor of the pump house.
That's happened twice.
Yeah.
Because they have to release the water from the dam.
That's right.
Why.
Yeah. Mm. But when I tell you I walked into Church of Our Savior, it was like I had come home. It really was.
Yeah. I was just telling John Reinhart over here, if you have not, I mean, if you just want, I don't care about your denomination, your belief, whatever. If you just want a place where you really want to feel at peace and quiet, just walk into the sanctuary.
Right.
At that little church at the corner of Caldwell Street and White Street.
Yeah, built in 1872.
Yeah. It's so, wonderful. Bingo, you knew it was, that this is where you wanted to be.
I did. I truly felt a tug on my heart that this was the place for me, and it must have been, because then when I left, the search committee called me a couple of days later, or the vestry, which is the lay governing board in an Episcopal church, called me and said, we'd like to offer you the call. And I said in my head, yes! But what came out of my mouth was, I'd like to take a week to pray on it, which, you know, very mature thing. And so I knew all along I was going to say yes, but I waited a week. You know, I had to make you all a little nervous.
Oh, I see.
And this is like, I put my name in the hat in May, and my first Sunday was May of 24, and my first Sunday was January 2025. So it took
that
almost
long.
Yeah, that long.
Is that because it took you that long to leave where you were?
No, I think just various things made it take that long.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm glad I stuck around.
Well, I'm glad you stuck around, too. So now here you are, a year and a half into this.
Yes.
You're now a happy homeowner, which
is
nice. And that's, you've achieved an impossible task almost anymore.
That's right.
Finding a home that's affordable. Yeah, yeah, right.
Thank you, Reinhardt Realty.
Thank you, Reinhardt Realty. Oh, thank you, Reinhardt Realty. Oh, there he is. I see that. There you go. What do you think about Rock Hill?
I love it. I love it. One of the first times that we visited, once we had moved, we went down to, I'm going to make a shameless plug for my friend Whitney Shea at the Green Space on Main Street.
Okay, good.
We went over there for a glass of wine, and we said, how do we make friends here, you know? And she said, well, if you stick around here long enough, here at the bar, you'll meet everyone you need to know.
And being a Swanee graduate, I know all about the bar.
And so Whitney and her husband, John, are some of our very good friends.
Good for
very
you.
Good friends, yeah.
So you had no trouble meeting people?
No, not at all. Not
That's
at all.
Great.
Even though I'm an introvert.
Yeah, you know,
like
you keep saying
home.
That. You keep saying that. And I don't think anybody believes it, you know?
Well, I pretend as an extrovert.
All right, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, we have to take our mid-program break.
Sounds
this is
good.
The most exciting thing you're going to do all day.
All right.
We're
going
to remind everybody that you're listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Find out more about them online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com. Okay, let's show you how bright this audience is. We produce fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and if you can read the King's English, please join in at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with Reverend Lucas Crosland, director of the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, which is where I happen to hang out. And that's why we're doing this show here today. I need to ask you one more question about what they teach you in seminary.
Okay.
And that is dealing with a congregation. Because a lot of what you do, what any priest does in any church, is you're dealing with people, and people have always got one issue or another.
That's
do they
right.
train you for this?
Well, as I said, they throw you in a room with 30 different people with different beliefs. So I think that's a pretty good pretty good teaching method.
Right. But I'm talking about the average person.
Ah.
You know, the family.
Yes.
That's got whatever their issues are.
Right.
Health issues or social issues, emotional issues. I mean, you do a lot of that stuff.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And I often wonder, when you hear that stuff day in and day out,
yeah.
how you process that. I mean, how do you keep your own sanity.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing, right? I mean, I truly believe that we all have gifts, and some of those gifts align for the ordained ministry. And I'm thankful that God has given me those gifts to sort of listen to a person, to be present with a person, to love them through whatever struggle, and to remind them that God can bring good out of the ugliest of life, you know? And I truly believe that.
Sometimes it's hard to get who you're dealing with to believe that, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the best way is just to show them through my own personal kindness and walking with them down that road.
Good. Okay. On to a bigger topic.
Yes.
What is going on with religion in America? Less and less people are going to church. I mean, I see the numbers all the time.
Yes.
And yet we are a nation founded upon religion and
sure.
freedom of religion, and that's how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what do you hear from your brethren?
brethren and my sistren.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
From your fellow members who are in the profession.
Right,
trying to preach and reach people.
Yeah. I think that was true and has been true for the past decades, but if you've been reading the news, you'll see that in the past year, there has actually been an increase in church attendance.
Oh, boy.
And so I find that, you know, for better or worse, after a major trauma as a country, people are seeking. And I think at least the trauma we've all seen was going through COVID together.
Mm.
And now after COVID, people are really looking for that belonging that we lost during that time of isolation, you know? And I think what led to the decline, at least in Christianity, in my opinion, and I might be being harsh, is that my generation of younger people want to see people who put their money where their mouth is, right? We don't want to see people who talk about Jesus on Sunday but don't live like him throughout the week. And so for a community of faith to do that, I think really attracts people to say, I'm looking for community. I'm looking for people who love God and love the world around them.
You're also living in an era where we've had, oh, my gosh, you're right here in the heart of it.
Yeah.
Where we used to have Tammy Faye. And,
oh, right.
Yeah, you know, it was just Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and PTL and all these electronic ministries.
Yes.
That didn't help things.
Right, right. Yeah, it made religion showy. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be accessible to those who are homebound or to those who want to check us out online, but I think a sense of authenticity really is what people are looking for when they come to church.
What is it they say? Something about works. Faith involves works. I don't know what the exact phraseology is.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's walking the walk.
That's
not
right.
Just talking the talk.
That's right. That's in the letter of James in the Bible. Is he says, faith without works is dead.
That's the word. That's
faith
it.
Without works is dead.
See, I've learned today.
Yeah.
See that? It's coming out.
I'm doing my job.
You're doing your job. So in the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, you do the electronic service, right?
We do. Yeah, we have online platform.
And it's very interesting, the number of people who pick up on that.
That's right. I think a couple of weeks ago, we had a number that, you know, for our church was really good. It was like 44 online viewers, which is
pretty strong.
Pretty strong, exactly. And I think our people watch it when they travel. Our homebound members watch it. And I think today people want to check out a church before they come in person. So they really will watch a service online to see what it's like before
they
darken the doors.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. Now, our church is governed by a vestry.
That's right.
But you're really the man in charge. You are the rector. You are the presiding officer.
That's right.
So.
Indeed. Indeed.
There's sometimes you probably wish I wasn't a presiding officer. But you're responsible for everything that happens at that church.
Yes.
You're responsible to make sure the bills are paid, the money's coming in.
That's right.
The people are being taken care of, the church facility is, I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Right, right.
But you need the worker bees to make all that happen because you can't do it all.
No, I cannot do it all. I cannot do it all.
So do you find yourself when you are with the vestry that you're pretty much in lockstep, or are there times where you all, you know, say, I want to go one path and they want to go another path?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much in lockstep. There are people on the vestry, which I'm thankful for, who will offer a different perspective.
Right.
But they offer it in a loving way,
yeah,
and in a kind way,
right,
which I think allows us to have a conversation about it. Because, you know, I'm only human, and I have blind spots. So it's nice to have a board of people to say, well, Father Lucas, have you thought about this, or we're missing this, or so on and so forth.
Right. And just so people know, you're 30 years of age?
I'm 31.
Oh, my God, you've gotten old here. 31. So you're dealing with a lot of people who are a lot older than you are.
Yes, yes.
Like this guy across the table from me.
Right. Only by a year or two.
Yeah, only by a year or two. I see you failed math.
Yeah, math wasn't my strong suit. Math wasn't my strong suit.
So what do you see after a year and a half? You're actually, I mean, our little church is actually growing.
We are growing.
Which is interesting.
Thanks be to God, yeah.
And I don't know whether, I mean, obviously having the right person in the pulpit every week, and you do give a pretty good sermon. I mean,
well,
you're more times than not, you're right on the money.
Thank you.
Now, how do you judge that? I mean, do you just, based on feedback?
I just try to be faithful, Manning. You know, I read the scriptures for the week. In the Episcopal Church, we have assigned readings. We use the lectionary, it's called, so I don't pick my own readings. And Sunday evening, I look at the upcoming readings, and I just sit and pray with them and hope that I'm struck with some inspiration. You know, a line from the reading stands out to me. And I really love to tell a story from my own life.
You know, oh, yeah, you're
very
good at that.
Comical, you're great. My life. And so that you can think of stories in your own life to relate to the readings, you know. So as far as feedback goes, If I've been faithful, I think I'd give myself an A, you know.
I thought your one on Sunday was particularly funny about the young man who took your bike all the time.
Yes, as a kid, I had a bully. I named him Marcus in the sermon. His name wasn't actually Marcus. And I told him that my big sisters were going to teach him a lesson. And my big sisters taught me a lesson by making me stand up for myself.
That's exactly right. All right, so if you're sitting down with somebody who I don't want to say is agnostic, but somebody who just, I mean, believes that there's a supreme being,
mm-hmm,
but has no interest in church.
Yeah.
What would you say to them as to why they should go to whatever church?
We don't, that's right. That's
whatever
right.
Church, doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I would say, I think it is important. I think we need personal faiths. But I think a community of faith is very important for a person's journey. I mean, even if that person isn't on this belief foundation yet, right, but they're seeking, having a community there who can walk with you in happy times and in sad times, I think just psychologically makes life better,
right,
you know? And then, of course, as a priest and as a Christian, I would tie in that this is how Jesus is embodied, is through you and me, through our hands and through our actions with one another.
Well, you've done a good job, Father Lucas. Thanks for being here today. I can't believe a half hour is gone already.
Really?
Had a good time.
Yes, we
enjoyed
it. Lots of laughs.
Lots of laughs.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and again, you can find good old Father Lucas down. Good young Father Lucas.
Church is at 9:30 every Sunday.
Attaboy, you got it out there. Good for you. And that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Oh, boy. The knucklehead is here. All right. He can do this. I know he can do it. All right. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. Here at Substation 2, how we do it is in the white letters on the Redneck's cue card. At the count of three, let's all battle it out together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.